from the values of society, and she's more capable of being satisfied without the respect and the I mean the adulation of the society. You see, Chazal, and that very same Chazal say that a woman would rather have a husband as a companion than to make a lot of money. Man is just the opposite. Man is looking for prestige, for arrogance. So you see that the kol kivuda bas melech panima, the pasuk says, and Chazal mentioned. What does it mean? It means that a woman in that respect is even greater than a man, that she has the ability to overcome the ostentatious. You see, to overcome the lure of the ostentatious and to look for real values. What does the Gemara says in Yuma? That Chazal are praised because they're considered like women. It says that they are like women, v'osin gvur kanashim. Why? Because Chazal means that they partake of that quality of woman, that they're not lured by the ostentatious, the Chachmei Yisrael. So that's the mile of a woman, and what this generation does is corrupts it and says just the opposite. Okay. You see, when you ask certain questions, like a woman can stay home and just do nothing, this, and a man can stay home and be drunk all day long, and he can take drugs and make sure that he has his mind is clear to daven shachris mincha ma'ariv, and he'll say Krishna twice a day, and he won't be over in a virus. So the Ramban already said a person can be a novel b'shus haTorah. I mean, the legislation of the Torah is limited. You can't legislate perfection anyways. So even a man with a person can live like a total boor. I mean, what does that prove? That doesn't prove it. It doesn't prove anything. The system is only something which is supposed to point out to a person where perfection is. Then the person has their own responsibility. And so far as that's concerned, a woman is equal to a man. But then there's an institutionalized system because of the maintenance of the Masorah. You have to have two. It's a different phenomenon. In Yadis, you have to look at everything in a different category. Okay. We should not speak in terms of who's more perfected and less perfected, because that's just based on arrogance. And we shouldn't make value judgments about people. Everyone should do what they're supposed to do, and that's it. Don't look at this one, look at that one. That whole thing is wrong. The whole approach is wrong. In other words, a man has to coerce himself to go into the base of Medrash. He's mechoyev to do it. Why? I'll tell you why. If it were a question of his own perfection, he wouldn't be coerced. Of course, God gave me in the Torah, and if you don't want it, that's it. I mean, it's your bechira. But he's coerced because of maintenance of the Masorah. That forces him into the base marriage, shelo lishma, because we have to maintain the system. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask him to be there either. But a woman is not involved in that obligation, so she is not forced into the base marriage, and it's wrong to imply that she should be in the base marriage. Wrong to imply that way. It's wrong to do that, to say that this woman's superior because she's here, she's learning, the other one's at home taking care of her children, she's inferior. It's wrong to make such a judgment. That's not the system of Masorah. You want to talk about individual perfection? Then in general, you have no right to say this person's better than that person. Who are you to determine? It's nonsense. The whole idea, bochen koyes v'leiv. Can you say because this person is sitting and learning that they're really better than the person down the block? You don't know. Maybe this person's a Russian. You don't know. Okay? But there is, even though we don't pass value judgments, we have to have a system, so we must try to promote the idea that men have to be in the base matters, they have to maintain the Masorah. They have to be there. And this should not be applied to women. It's a different level. Yes? You're underestimating, you're wrong, because you're underestimating the power of a human personality. And I tell you this, it's not the quantity, but it's the quality. You know, Einstein worked out his theories in relativity when he was working in a patent office, nighttime, okay? All right? How many people spend their nights and their weekends working in Chachma? All right? It's a draw. It's an eternal draw. Anyone that's drawn to it is drawn to it. If they have to force yourself, it's a different thing. If you're drawn to it, you'll do it and you'll accomplish it regardless. You'll do it in your sleep. You know, I spoke to businessmen, they tell me that they get up 4 o'clock in the morning and they're going to take showers and they're thinking the business in their mind that they can't stop it, can't sleep. That's involvement. And no person, when the human personality is drawn to that extent, man or woman or whatever it is, nothing's going to stop them. It's nonsense to say that they have to be in the base of matter. It's not true. There are no restrictions in terms of the human personality. That's why Bruria. She represented the highest level of Chachma. There's no restrictions in terms of the personal draw. But the system is a different thing. Establishing a system of Masorah and a base of Medrash institution is completely different. Okay. My answer again is that a person who is drawn to Chachma, whether whether it's a man or a woman, if they in truth are drawn to it, they will succeed in learning. And if they will succeed in learning. There's no, you can't stop a person that really is drawn to it. But to say to institutionalize is not correct. Let me repeat this again. There are other things that have to be said here. In terms of maintaining the system, you have to realize that in our society, and this is something I will give a talk on this also, on raising children, which I think is an important thing as well. But in our society, a two-year-old is sent to school, and the woman goes out to work. I don't think that is. Maybe that's not the best thing, really, for the child. Maybe that's not the best thing for the child. The person, we underestimate the value of a mother, the role that a mother plays in raising a child. Now, you may think it's insignificant, but I think you're dealing with the most priceless commodity in the world, in the universe, and you're treating it as if it's nothing. And therefore, you're not looking in depth into what this child is going to live through for the rest of their life based upon the way you're treating them in those early years. That's something again that has to be looked into, and that's something which a woman can accomplish and not a man. Man is not capable in that area. This size philosophy, what? This one has one, that one has. Just, that's not reality. A person is responsible to himself. Whatever you are, man or woman, you're not an Albert Einstein, so you're not an Albert Einstein. Is it enviable? Sure, it'd be very nice. Everybody would like to be an Albert Einstein. But the point is, what you should do is just try to work on your own abilities and develop yourself. And if you do that, then you'll be happy, because you'll know your limitations, you'll know your abilities, you'll perfect yourself, and you'll have a happy life. If you're going to say, I want to be like this one, like that one, this one's better, that one's worse, then you're never going to be happy. You'll fall into the pit of this society, which is basically terminal unhappiness. There's a consistency in the system. A man has to forfeit his own learning if his son is his superior. Why? Because he has to. That's the Masorah. You can't just think of yourself. A person who's totally self-involved is a worthless person. He has to recognize something bigger than himself, and that comes first. What is he going to do about it? That's what the Rambam says. Even though he sends his son to learn, he says he shouldn't be Yoshev Batul. He says, whenever he can, he should learn, and he should rely on the fact that it's the quality of the pursuit, not necessarily the quantity, in terms of personal perfection. What Yad is interested in is in personal perfection. That's the thing. It's not interested in chachma per se, not interested in any vehicle. It's interested in perfection, which is the ultimate goal. That no human being is denied in Yad. As a matter of fact, they're encouraged by the system. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. That sacrifice to the system is identical in terms of the man going to the base medrash and the woman allowing him to become a big alumnus so that the Masorah can continue on a high level. Yeah. I'm going to try to get that idea across. That question keeps coming up. The answer to that question is the Torah does not legislate perfection. Okay? There's no legislation. The Torah works with different systems. Okay? There's a system of the Masorah. And so far as human perfection is concerned, the Torah wouldn't even obligate the man to... Wouldn't push him into the base marriage if it was not for the system of Masorah. If he didn't learn, one second. If he didn't learn, and what if a man works all day, and he works in business all day, I told you before, and he comes home at night, and he watches television, okay? You tell me he's over Averis? No, he's not necessarily over Averis, because he says Krishna twice a day, he learns a little, a little this, a little that, that's it, and he'll be Yotzer Allah Mitaraisa. But is this a perfected man? No, but if he's a perfected person, he won't be happy with that. And the same thing with a woman. If a woman is at home alone and she has nothing to do, and she is on a level where she's naturally drawn, she'll do it. But it will not be an ostentatious thing. It will not be to show others that she can learn. And it will not be, and that's why it's important that it shouldn't be institutionalized, because institutionalized is you're falling into the realm of that. It will be a natural pursuit.
But you want to think, in terms of perfection?
All things being equal, there's no question. You're telling me that Dvorah is not a higher level than other people?
Okay.
Okay, there's no question about that. There's no question about that. But to say in a general way, to say that this woman is better because she's in the base medrash, not so simple. Okay. There are pitfalls involved in chachma too, and you have no right to say that this woman is better because she's learning, the other one is not. Maybe this woman is more arrogant than that woman. If she's arrogant, then the whole learning is worthless.
Okay, well, that's a problem. Okay,
that's why you can't have institutionalized. You can't institutionalize learning, because when you institutionalize learning, what you're saying is this is the norm. The norm is for women to be in the base medrash. And women outside the base medrash, we're going to ask them, why didn't you come to the shir? Why weren't you here? You should be here. These type of things are wrong, because you're implying that a woman that's at the shir is bigger than a woman that's not at the shir. You have no right to make such value judgments. A man, it's different, because a man, you have to have the Masorah. So you have to push him in the base medrash. You must force him in there. But a woman, you have no right to say, so leave it to her. She, whatever she wants, it's up to her. She has the right to do whatever she wants. And if she has, like you said, she has children that are Talmidei Chachamim, she has a husband that's Talmidei Chachamim, and sure, if she wants to learn, she'll be able to learn. There's no question about it. That's Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan. What did Gemara say? Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan's daughter, the Bruria, was the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan and the wife of Rabbi Meir. What did it mean to say? It meant to say that she exhausted all the possibilities in her surroundings for knowledge. That's what it means. And that a woman certainly has a right to do. I mean, but no one's, it's not, you cannot legislate it because the Torah doesn't demand it, and you cannot say, set up a norm of a base medrash for women and say the women in a base medrash are superior. That's wrong. That's wrong to say. That's not true. Because if a woman, as I said, Torah and chokhmah and perfection is not such a simple matter. A person can be involved in chokhmah, they could be involved in a lot of arrogance. That nullifies the whole perfection. So you have no right to set up such norms and such standards. You can't do that. You cannot do that. With men, we do it because of Masara. But with women, you cannot do it. You must do it because of the Masara. The system must be accomplished. What is the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Echad Melech Matzasi means that what? You have 1,000 kids going into the Yeshiva Ketana, and then the next Yeshiva is 900, then it goes down and down. Finally, you have one person emerges, and that's the Masara. Okay? That's the way the system has to work. So you have to do this. But when the Masara is taken care of, now we don't legislate. It's up to the person. It's perfection. And you have no right to set up a norm and a standard and to say that this is perfection. There's no right to do that. Now, the point is like this. That insofar as the learning for women, the following is necessary. Of course, for a woman to have hashkafas ayadus and to be protected against the alien philosophies of this society is no question. There's no question that there's an obligation to make sure that women have that kind of a knowledge. I mean, that's not a knowledge of learning bab mitzvah. That's not a knowledge of learning bab mitzvah. That's a knowledge of the issues that are involved of the day, which are in the questions and the upper courses that floats around, which must be stamped out, must be destroyed, must be dealt with. So if, for instance, a woman is in a situation where she's being exposed to improper views, so if you could remove her from that situation, fine. If you can't remove her from the situation, there's an obligation to explain to her why those views are improper. Okay? That's one thing goes without saying. To explain the basic Yesodi Ados, Torah Misinai, to understand Chachmas Ayadus, and to understand why Yadus is true, insofar as she has questions, insofar as things bother her, insofar as her environment, and all that sphere, there is no question, nobody have a question, that this is imperative. Okay? That's no question about that. Two, insofar as the mitzvos which they are obligated to do, and insofar as they need knowledge in order to perform the mitzvos, and insofar as they pursue knowledge in understanding the mitzvos, that need should be satisfied, without a question. That's the Rambam Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. Okay? That is not the same thing as setting up a base medrash for women to learn how to paskin shilas or to learn methodology in shas. That's a different thing altogether. You don't have to learn any. You don't have to learn any methodology in shas. You could learn, if you have a shila, the beauty of the answer itself speaks for itself. There's no reason to go, and most yeshivas they don't even have such a thing, where they sit down. It's something which if a woman has questions, she wants to understand something, it must be explained to her to the nth of her degree of understanding. There's no limitation on that. But I'm saying a system where you sit down and teach people methodology of how to learn Gemara, that's a different thing. That is the core. You're doing that, that's Masara. That is Masara. That's a chiyuv to do in terms of Masara. Not a chiyuv. You're not supposed to do that in the case of women. Not supposed to be the case, woman, because that implies Mesira L'Nashim. That's wrong. That I hold as limitation. That I hold as out. No one ever said, there's no one that ever set up a base medrash for women. Until today. It's nonsense. Now, the thing with the Chofetz Chaim is in terms of Hashkofa, of course. Hashkofa. Chofetz Chaim didn't want to make a base medrash for girls. He didn't want to have girls sitting around about Chavrissim base medrash. I don't think that was his idea. His idea was to make sure that the Hashkofa Sayadus was understood by women. That's 100%. I told you, there's no question about that. Yes.
Right.
For some people, it's enough. Right. We always had a class on my arts. I mean, not everybody's a brilliant genius. Not everybody. Well, we don't make such demands on people. There is no knowledge. There is no knowledge that, per se. That's what the Ram says. It doesn't say that a woman usher. What does Ram say? Isha shalom da Torah. So take a look at the Ram. Is very careful in his lashon. The Rambam says, Isha shalom da Torah yesh la schar avalen k'schar ish. Okay? That's what the Rambam says. Now, vafa pish yesh la schar tzivu chachamim what? Shelo yilmad odom es bito Torah. Doesn't say tzivu chachamim shelo tumo Torah. Doesn't say that. Just says to teach, to promote, to say, come here, you'll gain a certain superiority. I'll give you the method of learning, and you'll be able to understand exactly how a posek works. So you can feel you're on a par with other men when there's a halachic discussion. That's false. That's wrong. That's arrogance. That's usher. If a woman is interested in an idea, she comes. She's the one that initiates the process. There's no limitation. That's buria. But to institutionalize and to cater to arrogance, that's usher. And institutionalization is that. Basically, that's what it is. All these yeshivas that are trying to sell women learning is basically a catering to the egoistic drives of this generation. There's no doubt about it. It's not perfection that we're seeing here. It is a catering to the egoistic drive, which is wrong. But that is usher. But a woman who really pursues knowledge, there are no limitations. She'll get it. She'll be able to get it. But it has to be a natural pursuit, not because of other ulterior motives. Okay? Yeah. There are two things. Let me try to explain this again. There are two things. There's the natural inquisitiveness of the human mind, which is never squelched in the system of Yadas. And if a woman is driven by a natural inquisitiveness, she can go to Bruria. Become a Bruria. There's no limitation on that. Okay, she'll work it out, she'll find a way. That's okay. In terms of institutionalized learning, so there we have to make sure the institutionalized learning, that every Bas Yisrael understands the system of Yadas, Torah Mi Sinai, the basic philosophy, Ashkofa, a good understanding of might say Avos, of Midos, of Mesechet Avos. Okay? These areas are all pertinent areas. No one's denying that. But that's not the same thing as setting up a base medrash for learning how to paskin shilas and halachas and psak and methodology and how to approach a taisvus. That's a different thing altogether, and that's not the area of women. And if you do that, what you're implying is mesira of the mesira to woman, which is wrong. If a woman is inquisitive, she follows, she'll find it out. She'll work it out. Don't worry. She'll get it. To teach a person how to break open a taisvus, how to tear apart a taisvus, and how to learn a machlokes yeshanim is a specialized science. That is not for nashim. That's what the Rambam means. If a woman happens to pursue, she's on her own. It doesn't say she can't. She can do it. But not as an institution. That's absolutely not proper to do that. Because you're implying that the Mesorah should be in the hands of women and not of men, which is against the system of Yadus. Or else you're implying that by her doing this, she's a superior person, which is again not true. Okay? One of the two is going to be the result. Okay? But this Chachma Satorah means if someone asks you a question, you have to answer them with Chachma. Why do you do this? You have to answer them with Chachma. That's a different thing than teaching the method of how to work things out. That's a specialized science. That's a different thing altogether. It has nothing to do with it. That specialized science is only allowed to be taught. That's the core of Teshuva Peh. You're only allowed to teach that in an institutionalized manner only to men. Not allowed to teach that to women. Okay? And what I'm saying is that to try to do that is really just to cater to a certain arrogance of the society. It has nothing to do with the pursuit of knowledge. There's plenty of knowledge. It's a specialized area which is reserved exclusively to be taught in an institutionalized manner to Balei Masorah, which means to men. That's reserved, and that's it. There are a couple of things that I'd just like to add to last week's shiur, since it's such a an issue in today's society. I mean, it's, I think it's important to try to clarify it as much as we can. The things that I mentioned right last week, but I think that they need repetition. It's a case like the Rambam says, Kavla Kov, Tzavla Tzav, Tzavla Tzav. I mean, you have to repeat it several times. So, someone in the, I gave a class in, to the girls themselves, and certain things came up. I mean, someone raised the question, for instance, a Chidah that interprets the Rambam. I mean, I want to repeat this again, that you cannot just go loose among the statements of Chazal and just any statement that Chazal makes that's in line with your emotions to grab onto that statement. I mean, this is not a method of analysis. And that's what people do today, and it's because of the fact that we're in violation of the halacha, that dvarim shebal peh yad Torah shoyil litnam b'chzav, that we weren't supposed to, these things were not supposed to be written down. But unfortunately, we had to do so in order to save the system. So eitz lasos lad Hashem eferet Torah secha. So we had to forego a protective measure in the system in order to maintain the system. That's logical, but we still suffer from the fact that that protection is not there anymore. And that's exactly what happens. The people just look at Divrei Chazal, any statement from any Rishon, Achron, Gemara, as soon as it's in line with their emotions, they'll immediately say, there you see, that's the right thing. This is craziness. That's why you have to have a Baal HaMasora. Baal HaMasora, and I don't mean I mean a Baal HaRo. Okay, Baal HaMasora, Baal HaRo. A person that's qualified to give HaRo. There's no such thing. You cannot tell a person is not able to simply just give him the information and let him make his own decision. You need a qualified individual. And that's why there's an institution of HaRo. It means a person that's not fit for Moshe Feinstein gives a psak, as he did in this instance with learning Mishnayos for girls, where he answered it, that's the statement of a Baal HaRo. Vosel HaShofet HaShiyah B'Yabu Mahein. Means to say that you always have to listen to the Baal HaRo. That's the way the system works. Not by just opening up a book and finding whatever information you want and choosing that. I mean, it would be just like telling a person who's critically ill to take a medical book and cure himself. I mean, it's nonsense. So he wouldn't know what he's reading, he wouldn't know what he's doing, and it'll only cause harm. It's the same thing with regard to the system of Torah. It's a funny thing, but when it comes to every other system, people recognize it. Except when it comes to Torah, there everybody's an expert, they can make their own decisions. That's against the whole concept of Hara. Vasal HaShofet HaShiyah B'Yam HaMahim. You have to go by the Baal HaRo of the door. That's a part of the very essence of the fabric of Yadus. Okay. Somebody asked me about halachalam, I should clarify a little more halachalam maisa. Alright. So, the halachalam maisa is very contingent upon the theoretics that we discussed last week. Essentially, what we said was that we tried to explain the Rambam, to understand how to learn the Rambam. And the Rambam says that Tzivu Chachamim, the Shelo Yalamed Adam is Bita Torah. So we explained, and then he speaks about you shouldn't do it at all, even Tarsh B'Chsav. And Tarsh Baal Peh says it's extremely harmful. Yet the Rambam before, Nechus Sefer Torah, says that a woman, and everyone is capable, a woman, man, is capable of understanding Tarsh Baal Peh, Vayis by Roa. So we explained the contradiction, and also we explained the contradiction. Also, another question, of course, is Bruria herself. How did she become such a great intellect? That Chazal respected her intellect. Was it in violation of halacha that she became that way? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. What are you telling me that she disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer? The Gemara doesn't say that her father, the Rabbi Chanina Matrajan, disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer. Doesn't say that anyway. So what about Dvorah? How did she become so? So we explain the differences. The difference is whether it's a limud in terms of the Masorah, a limud of the nature of a Masorah, where it's an institutionalized limud for everyone. That role of the Masorah is exclusively given over to men. The role of the Messiah is exclusively given over to men. To men exclusively. Okay? That's their role. We'll get back to this in a moment. But we also explained that what is meant by the Rambam, by Torah Shebal Peh, is not meant any word of Torah Shebal Peh. That's not what it means. We explained, and this I mentioned, the Rav one time said very beautifully, he says, a Gemara is not Torah Shebal Peh. A Gemara is the results of Torah Shebal Peh. Just like a mathematics book is not mathematics, it's the result of mathematics. Mathematics is a certain way of thinking. When the Rambam speaks about Torah Shebal Peh, he is speaking about the very essence of the system of Torah Shebal Peh, the core of the system, the methodology of the system. That's what he means by Torah Shebal Peh. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed to teach your daughter any Torah Shebal Peh, because her daughter, she has no Torah Shebal Peh, she has no how to do Allah. How is she going to do it if she doesn't know it? That's what Ram says, that everyone has to know this. Okay? But when you're talking about Torah Shebal Peh, where the Ram's talking about the Torah Shebal Peh, he says that it's osur, in other words, you're not allowed to teach your daughter Torah Shebal Peh. He's referring not to the Torah Shebal Peh in Halacha, that's found in Halacha. He means the whole method of Horah, the system of Horah, and the methods of Torah Shebal Peh, the methods of thinking in specific of Torah Shebal Peh. That's a whole system. That system is a different kind of a limud, it's a different kind of a study. That's where the Rambam says there is a restriction. Okay? So the Rambam basically is two things. The Rambam is, in terms of Masorah, you're not supposed to set up an institutionalized Masoretic type of learning in any form, even in Torah Shebachsav. That's what the Rambam says in Torah. What's wrong with Torah Shebachsav? Because the Rambam is speaking about institutionalized learning, the Torah's Masorah. That is, Masorah is exclusively given to men. Okay? But then he speaks about the harm that can take place through limud of Torah Shebal Peh. He's referring not to the facts of Torah Shebal Peh, not to the ideas themselves of halacha, how to do halacha, the concept of halacha. He's not talking about that. He's still talking about the very system of Horah and the method of Horah. In Chazal, Torah Shebal Peh always meant liyashiv shmeitz aliba de hilchasa. That's a whole science, a whole process. That science is not to be taught to the person that teaches daughter that. There is the restriction. Okay. That explains how. Now, so it comes out like this. However, this is in terms of the learning itself, the institutionalized learning. There is a restriction. But in terms of learning, for a woman to learn halachos and to understand clearly what she's doing and why she's doing it, there is no restriction. There is no. That's what the Rambam says. Ve'ef shishiyedo samakol, because it's necessary in order to be zoche l'chayelam abba, to know halachas, to understand them, and to perform them. On that score, there's no restriction whatsoever. That's the Rambam Hilchos Sefer Torah. Okay, but institutionalized learning the Torah's Masorah is asur in any form, really, to indicate or to set up a Masorah type institutionalized learning is not appropriate. Because the institution is restricted to men. That's the role. The role of the man is different than the role of the woman. Okay? Yeah. But however, there is never an intellectual limitation. So if a woman on her own, through limud ha-mitzvos, is of such a type that, I mean, this means that her mind is constantly involved in thought, pursuing thought, and she reaches great heights, great intellectual heights. It doesn't say it anywhere. The Rambam never says it's osir lefikach tzivu chachomim she'osir leisha lo motor. He doesn't say that. On her own, any woman is able to, after a lengthy process of learning that which is appropriate for her, if she really is such a great intellect, she'll be able to start seeing beyond into the system itself. And there it doesn't say anywhere that if a woman asks a question that you're not permitted to answer. Only in that situation, Rabbi Elazar Gadol refused to answer, because he felt it was a situation which represented a corruption of the role of the woman. That's why he refused to answer. But if a woman on her own, like a Bruria, she reaches such a high level on her own through the natural progress of her intellectual development, there's no isser. There's no isser on such a thing. But that's a rare, very rare thing. That's why it's a Bruria. It's rare, not just rare among women, it's rare among men also. I mean, how many people, as I mentioned last week, how many people are really so obsessed with reason and thought? There are very, very few people like that. Very few people like that. I mentioned also the fact that the way we learn today is not really following a method of normal progression. We're not following the normal progression. The normal progression should be, first of all, to learn all of Tersh B'Chsav, the way they used to teach it, all of Mishnayos, and then to go into the realm of the real systems of Harah, the abstract system of Yasha Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa. That was the normal way. But today we have to short-circuit the system, because Chachmei Hador got together and they recognized that if we don't short-circuit the system, we're never going to have any, we won't produce Lamdonim, and once you lose one generation, that's it. So we really short-circuit the system when it comes to men bizman hazeh. It's not done in a natural developmental way. We can't afford to do it that way. But for women, it certainly would be usher to do such a thing. There's no question about it, because the person's not even following the natural progression. We only do it because of the Masorah. Okay. Now I just want to discuss the idea of two ideas. One idea is the idea of perfection. Perfection, of course, is the purpose of Kol HaTorah Kulo, and I mentioned that last week. And Limud does not necessarily mean ipso facto perfection. It doesn't. Sometimes Limud brings with it certain other things which are imperfections. And it's a tricky matter to avoid those harmful aspects, which can nullify the entire limud. If limud is not lishma, really it has no value. Its only value is that it brings lidei lishma. But if it remains lo lishma, then there really is no value. And this brings to mind the question of what is perfection. And this is what one of the girls raised this question. I spoke another time about it, but I'll just repeat what I said then. And that is what the Ram says. The Ram says, Lefi Maiso V'Rav Chachmaso Hu Zocha. So it means that a person is Zocha through two things, through his deeds and through his Chachma. They're two variables. What does it mean? It means like this. It means to say that a person's perfection is based not upon a self-interest, knowledge which is simply based on self-interest. That's lo lishma. But it is based upon an objective appreciation of chachma. In order to have an objective appreciation, the appreciation of chachma requires two things. It requires that you know what chachma is. You can't appreciate something you don't know what it is. But it also requires a sum of psychological energy which is directed towards that appreciation. Okay? That's why Chazal say that's Yisachar and Zvulun. Okay? So Zvulun, they share. The Gemara mentioned last week, the Gemara and Sota, where one Tana's brother supported him, they share mutually in the schar. And the same thing the Gemara says, a woman and a man share in the schar of Torah. Okay, what does that show? That shows that's the objective appreciation of Torah. The objective appreciation of Torah is the recognition that this chokhmah is so valuable, it's imperative for society must have this chokhmah, and I'm willing to sacrifice of my own of my own energies in order to make sure, to ensure that this exists. It's an objective appreciation of chokhmah. Okay? That objective appreciation of chokhmah is what perfection is all about. That's what it is. That is the unselfish kind of limud. The limud which is based upon the objective appreciation of chokhmah. And that's expressed just as much by the one that's devoted to maintaining the mesorah of the actual limud, and by the one who makes it possible for that person to do so. In that sphere, they're both equal. That's appreciation of chokhmah. Appreciation of chokhmah is perfection. Perfection is two variables. That's why, of course, you have to know what chokhmah is, and everyone must know, like the Rambam says, ish v'yish or cotton, the godly doesn't make any difference. They must know what it is, then each one must determine, based upon their role, in what way they will bring about the greatest perfection, which is the appreciation of chokhmah. Okay? So then we have a split of the roles. But perfection is not just knowledge. That's al yishalel ha-chocham b'chochmaso. That's what the Navi says. So the chokhmah per se is not perfection. It's the appreciation of chokhmah and the importance of chokhmah in terms of its objective value and in terms of the existence of Klal Yisrael and fulfilling the will of the Creator, which is that the chokhmah should exist among Klal Yisrael. That is perfection. Okay. Yeah. Doigadomi, you have Doigadomi, Achitofel, great chachomim, but they weren't zochet to perfection. Okay. They had no perfection. Yep. Okay. One achieves the appreciation of chokhmah through following the guidelines of Torah. The studying what their role is, the system, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to direct their energies, that's how one achieves a perfection. The importance, studying the importance of perfection, learning Hilchas Tshuva, learning about Midos, learning Avos, those are the areas that teach directly how an individual attains perfection. That area, of course, is obligatory for everyone. It's not just that's not just for Anashim, that's Anashim. Everybody in that area of Limud, everybody's the same, and that's supposed to be taught to everyone. There's no question about that. I mean, what does Rambam say? Rambam says that even people that are on a low level of they serve God because of fear. So he says, but we try to bring them to a higher level. In terms of that's everyone. That's, and Rambam specifically mentions Anashim in that case. So you see that there is a chiyuv, an obligation to teach women, men, everyone how to achieve perfection. That's through limud of limud amusar. Musar, you learn the divrei chazal, avos. I mean, you learn divrei neviim. And what do you call it? Chamisha chumshei Torah, maaseh avos. I mean, everybody's familiar. You know, with all the areas of Torah that stress and that teach the deep ideas of the Derech HaChayim. I mean, the Derech HaChayim, that's the whole, that's what teaches a person perfection. This is the same. There's no difference here between men and between women. You understand what I'm saying? There is only one difference. The role splits off when it comes to the Masorah. That's a specific area, a very specific area, Horoah and Masorah. That's the Masorah of Arah is only given over to a man. That's his exclusive role. Okay? But it does not in any way limit the intellectual involvement and challenge of a woman's mind. A person can be challenged all their life, even if they just learned even if they just learned the Derech HaChaim of Torah, that alone, the whole philosophy of Torah, is enough, more than enough, and the person will never finish it. No human being will be able to finish it. The in-depth understanding of Derech HaChaim of Yadus. Okay? And certainly the halachas that are, the halachas that are nageya, an individual, a person cannot possibly intellectually ever complete it. So there is no limitation in terms of the intellectual challenge or the learning or the limud that anyone, any Jew, man, woman, child, has to accomplish and has to involve themselves with. Okay? I want to make that clear. I mean, it should be clear. But there is an exclusive area of hara that is for men. That's the role of the man. I mean, halacha, lashon hara, and rechilus is also halacha. That's those things everyone has to know and has to understand. I mean, there's no question about that. There's no limitation. I mean, I want to make it clear that there's no limitation on a woman's on the use of a woman's intellect. There's no limitation. The system of Yadus affords enough. I mean, enough is the wrong word. I mean, it's an amount which no human being can possibly ever use up. I mean, that should be clear. But there is an exclusive area, the role of hara, which has its designation for man. A man is obligated, and it's exclusive. Okay. The Rambam says that hara and philosophy are two different things. Hara and philosophy. Philosophy, there's no hara. Because it's not lamaisa. Okay, anything that's not lamaisa is no hara. Okay. I know a lot of people might not understand. I mean, what I'm saying with regard to perfection, it was a separate shiur that I gave. I'm just telling you what it is. The fact is that a person can be a great Talmud Chacham and be far away from God. Even though he knows a lot of facts, the kind of knowledge, and this is something which, it's something I just can't expound upon on right now. But I just want to tell you that it's the Yesod in Yadus that knowledge and perfection go hand in hand. In other words, an individual, insofar as they are not perfected ethically, the ideas are certain ideas are closed to them. They'll never be able to see those ideas. Because the emotional makeup, the makeup of man is such that when his emotions don't want to see something, no matter how great a chacham is, he will not see it. I don't care how great his mind is. He will not be able to see it. It's closed. That's why Yadus maintains that the Yediyas Hashem, knowledge of God, is only possible in a person who has attained a certain level of perfection on an ethical and moral level. If he doesn't have it, he can't see it. His mind is closed, he will not be able to. He can be the greatest genius. So that's why a person, the perfection is really always tied to Yediyas Hashem. Yediyas Hashem cannot be measured by the amount of Gemaras a person learns. Cannot be measured that way. Doesn't mean to say that the amount of Gemaras that a person learns does not play a role in given a certain framework of an individual. It does play a major role, but nevertheless, you cannot measure it by that. It cannot be measured by that. And Yediyas Hashem is based upon two things. Is based upon the person's how much, as I mentioned before, is based upon two variables, knowledge and the perfection of the individual. Okay, so a person with a great Talmud Chacham, when it comes to Yediyas Hashem, he's far away. It's a certain kind of yediya, a certain kind of knowledge that appears to an individual when he's perfected. And if he's not perfected, he won't see any of those ideas. He won't see any of those. I don't care how many Gemaras you learn, he will not see any of those ideas. That's what Yadus maintains. That's the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim makes us develops this idea very strongly. Okay, that's what the Rambam. The Zvulun is on a high level. It's just like the Rambam says with regard to a father and a son. The son is more intelligent than the father. He's smarter. And the father has X amount of money. Should he learn or his son learn? So the halach is he's obligated. His first obligation is to the system of the continuance of knowledge. If he really appreciates knowledge, he'll recognize that knowledge is important to exist more than that he should have the knowledge. It's more important that knowledge should exist for generations and generations among the nation, and therefore he has to sacrifice his own knowledge. But the Rambam says he shouldn't be a Yosef Bakal, he shouldn't do nothing. I mean, he's supposed to be involved in his spare time. Zvulun didn't just waste his time in his spare time. It means he was involved in pursuing chachma and learning and appreciating. Well, where did he do? Where did he have the appreciation from? If he didn't know what it is, he had to learn. It's not the same as Yisachar, but he's involved in learning in chachma. There's no such thing as a free ticket. I mean, there's no such thing as people think that, you know, I'll pay off somebody to learn and then I'll sit home and watch television. I'll be zechul chayil mabar. There's no such nonsense. That's childish. That's not what Chazal meant. But Chazal mentioned there are two variables, and Zvulun's variable, insofar as his appreciation, can even exceed Yisachar's. Can even exceed Yisachar's. Okay? Alright? And it's the two together that work together to create the person's schar, to give the person the schar. It's an important point, but I said I can't elaborate too much right now on this point. I'm just giving you the basic concept and the basic idea. But that's the yesod in yadus. The yedias Hashem means certain ideas pertaining to God. Those ideas are not open to a person that's not perfected. No matter how intelligent, no matter how much he dedicates himself to study, he won't be able to attain it. It's like a closed wall. He'll not be able to get by. Okay? A person that's not intellectually gifted means on their level, and their level, a human being's knowledge is nothing. Zero compared to knowledge itself, because knowledge itself is from God, and it's infinite. So whatever we grasp is a joke. I mean, it's nothing. Zero. Like the Rambam says, like the Ramban says about the Bereshis, about creation. He says what we know about creation, even the biggest Talmud Chacham, is like a drop in the ocean. Okay, so it means that all of human knowledge is silly compared to God's knowledge. We don't even have, the Rambam explains, even the methods that our minds have of thinking are not the real, true way of understanding. It's just things that approach the world of knowledge, but it's not the way God understands it. God doesn't use the mechanisms that we use for knowledge. It's different. It's a different system. The Rambam explains it's a different thing. It's qualitatively differentiated, but we have within ourselves ultimate reality. But it is not the ultimate way of understanding things. Our minds are deficient. It's not the ultimate way of understanding things, and our knowledge is nothing. It's a zero. Compared to God's knowledge is nothing. So every human being is basically, in terms of knowledge, there's no such thing as saying that we've attained a certain level. I mean, it's a relative phenomenon. So therefore, a person who doesn't have, who has less intellect, but on his or her level, they could also have perfection. The important thing is perfection. Every human being is capable of understanding and appreciation of Chachma on their level. Okay, that should be the goal of every person. That's why, I mean, I remember I had a friend of mine who was an intelligent person. He wasn't a religious person. He's a dentist. He said to me, I don't understand. He says, my friend is religious. What is he doing now? He's learning. So he says, I say to him, I say, what are you learning for? I mean, you're an old man. You're in your 50s already. You're not going to be a great scholar. Well, leave that somebody's going to be a scholar. What are you wasting your time learning? How far are you going to get in the area? He didn't understand that in Yahadus, learning is not for the purpose of achieving or attaining a certain intellectual status. It's for the activity itself. No, the activity itself. So it doesn't matter whether you're an Albert Einstein or whether you're a plain person. Makes no difference. And Albert Einstein, in terms of knowledge, God's knowledge, is also nothing. The difference is much smaller between the plain person and the great thinker than between the great thinker and ultimate knowledge. Much smaller. Okay, you could say infinitely smaller. All right. So therefore, it doesn't make any difference. That's the philosophy of Yadis. That's the outlook of Yadis. Yes. I just want to mention. All right. Just let me mention briefly just one thing. I'm not going to go into it at length. I think there's another tape that I spoke more about it. But just briefly, there is a difference between the, in a practical way, there's a difference between learning a blot of Gemara in order to master a blot of Gemara, where you're interested in every havmin, every maskana, the ins and outs, and the whole system of how, and how to paskin, and how to do a raw, and how to go from the blot to the Shulchan Aruch, and how to paskin. That's one kind of learning. And then a blot of Gemara can be used to isolate certain positions in order to understand the final formulation and the concepts behind what one is doing. That is, these are two different kinds of lamuda. Okay? One is for a man and one is for a woman. I'm not going to go into any further details, but I think it's enough that anyone that's a lamdan will know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. I think it's important to stress from another area a concept that perhaps we'll add a little more to our understanding of the idea that there are two different roles here, two different role assignments, and what role assignments means in Yahadus. Okay, it's important to understand this. You know, the Torah recorded an event which was a rebellion on the part of one of the people of the one of the personalities of the Torah, the famous personality Korach. The Torah recorded this rebellion for an important reason, because in this rebellion lies an understanding of the whole system of Torah and also of all subsequent rebellions. All subsequent rebellions are nothing more than a repetition of the rebellion of Korach, because the Torah is open to one kind of rebellion, and Korach picked it up, and the Torah recorded it because it wanted us to study it so that we should avoid falling into that same pit that Korach fell into. Now, if you remember, literally, he's right. Okay. Yeah, literally, he's right. Okay. So, at any rate, what was Korach's main complaint? Korach's main complaint. Take a look at Korach's main complaint in the Pasuk. Yeah, the complaint was like this. There's a complaint that's written in the Torah Shebachsav and a complaint that's written in Torah Shebaal Peh. And when you study it, you wonder what's the relationship between these two complaints. Because in Torah Shebachsav, what does it say? It says the complaint was Kol Eida Kulam Kedoshim Avasochem Ad Hashem Umaduot Esnasu Kal Ad Hashem. So what did he want? So Moshe Rabbeinu, in his answer, you see what he wanted. He said that Hamat Mikem Kiyidlo Kesol Eschem Adasel Hakvot Eschem Elov. Your levi is not enough. Will be kashtem gam kahuna. So his complaint was against the kahuna, basically. All right. What was Korach's complaint? Korach's complaint. It doesn't. When we read it, it doesn't sound important because we're not involved. It's not our own emotions. But if you take a look and you think about it, you'll see his complaint was a very good complaint. His complaint was, why should I respect this particular kohen? He's more important than me. And I want you to understand, kahuna is definitely an aristocracy. What does it mean? I want to learn, and this fellow, my friend, wants to learn, who is a kohen. Who has the opportunity to learn more? Me or him? I have to go and earn a panasa. I have to go and earn a living. I have to be worried about either I have to work for somebody, or else I have to be worried, be in business, and be constantly preoccupied with the success or failure of my business. That's a lot of work. Takes away from learning. This kohen is a free ride, basically. Yes, true mice and mice race. He works in the Mikdash 2 weeks a year. Very nice. Okay? And not always. Not all Kohanim work. Okay? So what kind of a system is this? Why? And I have to show him kavod. I have to honor him. He's the first one for an aliyah. I have to give him, he sits in the, I have to give him matani yof. When I serve him first. I have to serve him first. Well, who is he? Why is he better than me? That was basically Korach's taina. What is this class differentiation? It's not equal. You're saying he's superior to me. He's not superior to me. Kol Eido Kulam Kedoshim Uvesocham Ad Hashem Umaduot Esnaso Kal Hashem. Why should there be such an institution? This represents inequality. That was basically Korach's taina. Okay? That was the steiner. It doesn't bother anybody today because we don't have the base of Migdash, so kumuna. Nobody wants to be a kain, because if you're a kain, you can't become a physician. Okay? So it's not an advantage, it's a disadvantage. But the truth of the matter is that Korach's taina was a very, very good taina. Okay? And Chazal attached another taina to it. Chazal say, Rashi says, what did he do? Rashi says he took together all the people and he made them wear talisos that were completely dyed with blue, and he went in front of Moshe and he asked him a question. He says, let me ask you, if a talis is completely blue, so does he have to put on tzitzis on the corners of the garment, or you don't? So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Yes. It says, Ischilu l'sachek l'fonav. They started to laugh at Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said, what kind of a thing is this? Is it possible you have a talis and one blue thread is enough? And if the whole talis is blue, it's not enough. This doesn't make any sense. They started to laugh, ridicule Moshe Rabbeinu. What does this have to do with the overt complaint that we find in Tarshish B'Chazav? And why did Chazal say that this is what happened? I mean, and why did it happen that way? I mean, why did it happen that way? What's the relationship? The answer is a yesod in Yadus. The yesod in Yadus is, and this the Rav mentioned many times, that you cannot philosophize halacha. And that was the mistake of Korach. See, Korach was saying that because a certain individual, a certain group, are elite in a certain respect, that this means they're superior. That's false. They're not superior. A Kohen is not superior to a Yisrael. In terms of individual worth, there is no difference. You cannot say this Kohen is worth more valuable individual. It's nonsense. Why does he have the Avodah? Why? I'll explain it to you even better. Why Shevet Levi is special? Okay, if you want to talk about something special in Klal Yisrael, Shevet Levi is definitely special. Not only is it special because Ba'isa Hivdil Hashem as Shevet Levi, God separated them. Lavo de Lama Lefnei Hashem L'Sharso the Kahanim Levar Hashem. It's fine. It's a pasuk in the Torah, and not only because of that, but the Chazal say because Shevet Levi was unique, they didn't cave in when it came to the temptation of the ego. All right, they didn't give in, they resisted it, and a very special group. But nevertheless, if somebody were to say that's why that they deserve this position because they're Levium, I would say, do they deserve this position because they're Levium? I would say yes and no. It depends what you mean. If you mean that because they were Levium and they had these unique characteristics, that's why naturally they deserved to be Levium as opposed to other Jews, I would say no. But if you say, did they have a certain schus that made them Levium, then I'd say yes. What's the difference between the two? Let's give you an example. Let's say somebody came to the yeshiva and said, look, I have $1 million to give to a bacha that's sitting in line. Okay? I want to give $1 million present. So what would we do? Say, look, first we say, well, could we divide it? We'd say, absolutely not. Only goes to one bacha. Okay? So we'd have to sit down and figure out who would be the best in terms of limud and nesora, based upon we're doing the union now, who to receive the money. Okay? Does that mean that this person deserves $1 million and the other person doesn't? No, it means there's only $1 million and you have no choice. So therefore, if a person has a schos, you'll give it to him. That's the same concept by Kahuna and Leviya. The Keser Shel Kuna and Malchus, Keser Shel Malchus, it doesn't mean if Shevet Levi, if there weren't, let's say Shevet Levi weren't so great by the ego, does that mean there would be no institution of Kahuna? Of course there would be an institution of Kahuna anyways. The thing is, since there was an institution, and there is an institution of Kahuna, so therefore it was given to Shevet Levi because they were Zocha. That's why you'll take a look, Chazal always speak in terms of being Zocha. The Rambam says that the three kisorim, there were three crowns that were given to Klal Yisrael. One is the crown of Kahuna, the crown of Melucha and the crown of Torah. And he says, what does Rambam say? The crown of Kahuna, Zocha Bo Aaron. It means he was Zocha to the crown. It doesn't even mean to say that he was worthy of the crown, which means to say, because he brought about the institution of Kahuna. Not true. The institution of Kahuna was predestined from Sheishis Yimei Bereishis. There had to be such an institution. Aaron HaKohen was Zocha to that institution. Same thing with Malchus. It doesn't mean that David was roi to be a melech because of David. It means there had to be an institution of Malchus. David was the one that was Zocha. It's a different concept. You see. And the same thing even with Keser Shel Torah. That Keser Shel Torah doesn't mean the Talmud Chacham has a right to it. It means there is an institution, because there are certain things that a Talmud Chacham gets, which is it's an institution, institutionalized. Covet, this, whatever, a lot of halachas. Okay, so the thing is, if a person learns, he's Zocha to it. But Keser Shel Torah, and Keser Shel Kahuna, and Keser Shel Malchus, that's what the Rambam is, B'shlosha Kisorim Nichteru Yisrael. What does it mean? It means these three Kisorim had to be. But now the question is, since these three things have to exist, now who gets them? Okay, so Shevet Levi had a schus, so it received that. That same thing Rashi says in Bereishis, by Reuben Bechoriata, Yeser Se'es V'Yeser Yeser Oz. What does he say? You should have been the one. Yes, yes, you should have been the one that took Kahuna. You should have been the one that took Malchus. What does it mean? It means Malchus and Kahuna are institutions that are predestined to exist in Klal Yisrael. Question is, who gets them? Reuven was supposed to get them. He missed his mark. He didn't get it. Okay? That's the concept of Kahuna. That's the concept of Leviyah. That being the case, you understand, it doesn't indicate superiority. Because if it were superiority, it would mean that this person, because he's from Shevet Levi, now he deserves a free ride. Okay? Not true. Kahuna had to exist. Okay? It was the nation demands the institution. And the same thing is, so what Korach's argument was a false argument. His argument was that Kahuna indicates superiority. So he says, he was wrong. In terms of Kedushas Yisrael, there is no difference. He was right in that respect. They call Eido Kulam Kedoshim. There's no less Kedushas Yisrael in the Yisrael than in the Kohen, the same Kedushas Yisrael. There's no less Kedushas Yisrael than in the Isha than in the Ish. There is no difference, absolutely zero, no difference. Okay? But you want to talk about a role, if you're going to philosophize Torah, then you're distorting it. If you're going to say that this Kohen is superior and indicates he's a superior person, that's not true. Okay? If you're going to say that because this person, the same thing in the negative as well. There's an institution, an unfortunate institution of Mamzerus. Okay? Does that mean the Mamzer is inferior? Absolutely not. You know the well-known statement of Chazal, that Mamzer Talmud Chacham is Kodem L'Kohen Gadol Hametz. So what does it mean to say? It means you can't philosophize and say because this person is a Mamzer, he's an inferior person. His Kedushas Yisrael is identical with anybody else's. And to make that kind of a philosophical deduction is a mistake. Korach was intelligent. Korach knew when he, in his argument, he has to protect himself against this. How's he get? Because right away Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say that's not an indication. So it's halacha. So what did he do? That's why he took the tchelis and the tzitzis, and he went in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, do you have to put on tzitzis or not? What did he mean? He was philosophizing tzitzis. He was saying it's not a halacha that you must have one, that you have to have the thread, the blue thread on the tzitzis. It's a halacha and it's a chok, and this is the way it has to be and it must be that way. He was saying, no, the whole thing is a philosophy to remind yourself of God. So the whole talus reminds you of God. What do you need tzitzis for? You see? He was an intelligent person. He corrupted the institution first before he came and made his claim. Then his claim was based on the same type of corrupt thinking, namely that you can philosophize a halacha. You can't philosophize a halacha. For instance, I'll give you an example. A Kohen, if you're going to philosophize a halacha, so you'll say it like this. A Kohen and a Levi, who's superior? Kohen, right? Okay. So you'll understand the Levi can't do a Kohen's work because he's inferior. But a Kohen should certainly be able to do a Levi's work. He's over a lot of Midaraisis, Machlokas, whether he's Chayav Misa or not. So you see, The philosophizing of halacha does not work. It's not true. It simply is not true. It's like the Rambam says, the pasuk in Chazal, ish ish al av, and Levim themselves. Levim were broken up into two groups. The Meshorim, the ones that opened the doors and the gates of the Mikdash, and the Meshorim, the ones that sang on the Duchen by the Korban. Two groups. One is not allowed to take the work of the other one. Why? They're both the same. The answer is, it's ish ish al avodoso v'al amaso. Every person has their own role in Yadus. A role does not mean, does not indicate superiority or inferiority. And the same thing is true binogea to the role of Mesorah and Halacha. To say that a man is superior because he has the role and the obligation of maintaining the Mesorah is false, is not true. In Kedushas Yisrael is identical, there's no difference. That's the argument of Korach. Roles are distinct positions that God created because of the necessity of the maintenance of the system of Klal Yisrael, and they have to be Kohanim. There have to be Kohanim. There have to be people that are designated for Kohanim. That's the way it must be. That's God's infinite Chochmah dictated it has to be that way. And the same thing is His infinite Chochmah dictated that's the man's role in terms of the halachic Mesorah. That's his role. That's not the woman's role. It does not indicate in any way inferiority or superiority. That's the mistake. All these arguments are all repetitions. The arguments that Yadus has suffered through are all repetitions of the same exact argument. What's the argument of the conservative with the mechitzas? That's because a woman is behind the mechitza, it means she's inferior. Nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. Anyone that understands the concept of mechitza, on the contrary, it happens to be the greatest covet for the woman, but they don't understand that concept of covet. But regardless, you cannot philosophize halacha in that manner. It doesn't lend itself to it. If you just check through the halachas to see, it doesn't work out. So that's a false idea and a false notion. You're doing the exact same thing again. A bechor, the same thing of a bechor, the institution of bechor, does not indicate that the bechor is superior. It's another institution. It's an institution of bechor. There is an institution of bechor. A bechor is not al pishanayim. The Torah recognizes that there must be such an institution. Does it mean that the younger son is inferior to the older son? Absolutely not. It's an institution of Bechor. Same exact thing. You cannot philosophize the institution or psychologize the institutions of Torah. They're there for a reason because God's infinite wisdom dictates that you require in the system, you must have these institutions. Not because the individuals involved are superior or inferior. That's important. Yes. And today, it's important to mention this because in today's world, the only thing people, because of amaratzis, because of ignorance, because they don't understand Torah, they don't know the halachic system, they see halacha and they say it indicates that a woman's inferior or superior, and they project really what they're projecting. We never had a concept like that of a woman being inferior in Yad. It's never existed. And the Dvar Yish and Aviyah is the biggest proof. Sorry, may not mean straight through. We never had that idea. It's alien. Who had the Goyim had that idea? And the Goyim had that idea, and a couple of hundred years ago, and maybe even less, in England, a woman was considered chattel. Okay? So this was a Goyish idea, has nothing to do with us. Now the world is waking up and they recognize this idea is unfair. Now they're trying to project this concept onto us, maintaining that we're primitive, but it's based upon amaratzis and ignorance. There's nothing, just they don't know. They don't understand the system of Yahadus. But the idea of the system is expressed clearly in Parshas Korach. That's the whole Parshas Korach. Every rebellion was the same thing. You can philosophize and psychologize halacha. And we maintain you cannot. That's a system. These are laws. They don't indicate whether a person's self-worth, his individual worth before God, is not indicated by these institutions. That's what Yahadus maintains. Okay. I think in today's world there is a certain competition between the sexes. It exists. I mean, it's a pasuk. SLO is a kinegdo. So you see that there's a kinegdo. There's a competition between the sexes. There's no question about it. But it's important. Anyone who is a person who's committed to Yadus should realize that those emotions should not govern their thinking or their activity. And to try to put... For one sex to try to put the other sex down for some reason, any reason whatsoever, is completely against the true philosophy of Torah. And it's wrong and it's also. It's also because of losonu ishas amiso. We're not allowed to make a person feel bad by putting them down, degrading them, or saying things that are hurtful or harmful, even in jest, if it's harmful or hurtful, never say it. And a lot of jokes go on, you know, one putting down the other. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. It's a derisa. It's wrong, and it's based upon... It's wrong in two counts. It's wrong because you're not allowed to hurt another person's feeling, but it's wrong because you're saying something that's false. And what you're doing is you're allowing your own emotions to enter into a false world, a distorted value system, which will affect you in even worse ways. Okay? So that's why it's important. And I mean, I know these things go on, you joke around. You have to be very cautious and very careful not to say something that's an untruth. It's a distortion of Torah. It's not true. Okay. There is an interesting, I'm just going to end with this one point. There's an interesting correlative from this week's Parsha. All right? Interesting. You take a look at this week's Parsha. Interesting thing. It says that Vatikach Sarai Eshes Avram Es Hagar Mitzris Shifchasar Miketz Es Hashanam Lesheves Avram Be'eretz Kinaan. Okay? And what did she do after 10 years? So she gave... So Avram was childless. So Sarah gave to Avram her maidservant Hagar. Okay? Then what happened? Okay, so he lived with Hagar and she became pregnant. So then it says that her mistress became small in her eyes. So then the next pasuk says, so Sarah got very angry. It says, "Vatoma Sarah l'Avram chamos yalecha. I'm angry at you. Anochi nasati shivchasi b'chekecha. I gave you Hagar. Vatera karasa. She saw she became pregnant. Vo'ekal b'ainia. And then I became diminished in her eyes. Yishpot ad Hashem b'ni v'enecha. God should judge between you and me." Look at the pasuk. You don't know. This is a derech haTorah. The Torah writes psukim. You don't understand what's going on here. It sounds like something important, but when you take a look, you know, it doesn't make any sense. She, what does she want from Avram? I mean, you can understand. She says it to Hagar. She should have said to Hagar, "I gave you over to my husband, and look what you're doing to me." No, she didn't say that. She went to Avram. Avram didn't do anything, and she tells Avram, "I'm angry at you. I gave you Hagar, so it's your fault. So what do you want? What are you angry at?" Okay? Now, I think that the Torah of Ir is expressing a very important idea. See, what happened was like this. Here again, it's similar. Very similar. Except we were discussing halachic institutions, and over here we're discussing reality. What happened was that Hagar became pregnant from Avram, and Hagar was a very intelligent woman, and she knew what that meant. So what she thought to herself immediately was like this. This is strange. Here, Sarah's living with her for 10 years, and she wasn't Zocha. I come in, I'm Zocha. What does it show? Must be that I'm superior in some respect. I have superiority. She made a judgment based upon the fact that she became pregnant. You see? So what did Sarah say? That's when Sarah got angry. Sarah got angry not because, like people think, Sarah Imenu wasn't a Viyah. She wasn't angry because of herself. You'll see. Because what she put at Hashem B'ni Yivanecha. What she was angry at was like this. She said to Avram, "Anochi chamasi lech, anochi nasati shivchasi b'chekecha, vateira ki harasa v'ekal beinel." She said like this, who was the one, how do we judge people? Do we judge people by events? Do we say if a person got sick, this person's a Rasha? Person became wealthy, this person's a tzaddik. Is that the philosophy of Avram? That was the philosophy of the Puritans. They held, if a person is wealthy, God loves him. But is that the philosophy of Avram Avinu? Is that the philosophy of Yadis? Chas v'shalom. We never say such a thing. We don't know why the person is, on the contrary, a person becomes sick. Yechayev and Yemuchayev bikacholim gamal chasabim. On the contrary, I say, this person is sick. You see, God doesn't like him. Chas v'shalom. That's against the whole philosophy of Avram Avinu. So that's what Sarah said. I'm angry at you. Why? Anochi nasati shivchasi b'chekecha. Who really did the virtuous deed? There is a barometer that we have for recognizing a righteous person, and that's by the person's righteous deeds. So who did the righteous deed? The hardest thing in the world for a woman is to give her husband that she loves to somebody else. So she said, I did that for the purpose of future generations, of establishing the Klal Yisrael. Okay? So she said, that was my purpose. So who did the virtuous action? I did the virtuous action. And what is she saying? And she's saying she's virtuous because she became pregnant. That's a pagan idea. That's not the philosophy of Avraham Avinu. Yishpot ad Hashem b'ni uveinecha. There she said, you kept silent and you allowed that philosophy to be expressed in your household. You are going against the whole philosophy of Avraham Avinu, the philosophy of Yadus. That was her complaint. So it's true not only insofar as the halachic roles are concerned, that you cannot philosophize or psychologize a role and say this indicates that a person's superior or inferior. It's true also with regard to events in a person's life that you could never say, because of a certain event, this shows this person is superior or inferior. That's a primitive pagan concept. Okay, stop it. We don't know. That's the in Yadis, we're very ready to say we accept ignorance. We don't understand it. That's the whole pasuk. What does the pasuk say? V'hem in bar Hashem v'yachshevel lo tzedakah. Avraham Avinu did not. He wasn't curious. God told him, you're going to have a son. That's it. The details is not our business. That's Harvonish. That's God's realm. We don't understand these things. Okay.
The following was given at Masoret on the same topic.
I asked before. I didn't get an opportunity to get around to it. But we did it this past Sunday, and we went through the areas and the Gemaras, and we're trying to clarify, basically, from what I understand on a practical level, what is a woman's learning as opposed to a man's learning. That there are two different types of learning is no question. That's clear from all the poskim, and that woman's learning is different, and that there is in fact a tzivui from Chazal not to involve women in the type of learning of a Masorah system that a man is obligated to be involved in. Okay, so a woman does not have that obligation of the Masorah type learning. A woman doesn't have the obligation to start that learning, although this does not mean that learning is not open and even recommended for her in a certain way, and in her way. But in Yadis, you have different roles and different obligations, and we mentioned that the Masorah is Machayev a woman, essentially. The first and foremost Chiyuv is to make sure that our children learn Torah and that our husband learns Torah. Because everyone's obligation is first and foremost to the Masorah. In that sense, we said, just like a father who wants to learn Torah very much, and he has a son who is brighter than him, so he has to forego his own learning for the sake of the Masorah. And that's something which everyone has to do, except by men, it depends on the individual circumstances. By women, it's a general concept. Okay, but it's the same concept. That's the concept that we all have an obligation for the Masorah. Then we have our own personal, individual obligations to ourselves. But what takes the primary obligation, the main focus, is always on the Masorah itself. That's our first obligation, is to the system of the Masorah. Okay, then you deal with the personal. It's like the Rambam says that even though a man wants to learn Torah very much and he has to send his son to yeshiva and he has to support him, he doesn't have enough money for both to learn, so he works all day and his son learns, but he shouldn't, it doesn't mean that he shouldn't learn either. And he has a personal responsibility for himself, but that's secondary. Primary obligation is to himself. Okay. So, I understand that you'd like me to clarify in specific what is the difference between the way a man learns Torah and the way a woman learns Torah. Okay. The difference is that a woman's obligation is really her first obligation is to learn the mitzvot that she is supposed to perform, and that means to understand them. And there is, as you know, a wealth of information that she must have in order to perform her mitzvot properly. Okay? A man's obligation is, of course, also to learn the mitzvah that he has to perform, but he has another obligation, and that is to master the system of the Mesorah of Limud Torah Shabbal Peh, to master that system, because if we lose a generation we lose one generation in terms of the mastery of the system, then that's the end of it. You can't ever be such a breach. So a man may even have to put aside some of his own learning in a practical way in order to master the system, because that's the most important thing. A practical mitzvah, he even if he'll be in violation because he's not aware, that's not as serious as losing the Masoreth for the whole Klal Yisrael. So that's why in yeshivas, you notice a lot of times, in many yeshivas, they learn Bava Metziah, Bava Basra, they learn Masechtas that Bava Kama, Gittin, and Kedushin, and areas which are not really practical. The yeshivas and Masechtas are not practical. What about the fact that a lot of fellows in yeshiva don't know practical halachas and arachayim, and that happens many times? But the answer is, the Chachmei Hador saw that if we're going to do it in the perfect manner, in other words, have somebody learn first Tarsh Bachsav, which means Chamish Chamshit Torah and Neviim and Ksuvim. That's what they used to learn. Then all the Mishnayos, and then they'll know all the practical halachas, and then they're going to get around to analysis and methodology in Torah. They're not going to make it, because in our side, it's not the way it works. So the Chachmei Hador got together, and they said, we have to forego a certain amount of the practical, and we must concentrate on the methodology and the Masorah and the intensive limud of Torah Shabbal Peh in order to make sure that we produce what we call in our society a lumdus. Okay? Because if we lose the lumdus, then we lose everything. Okay. Now a girl does not have the obligation of the Masorah. So therefore a girl has to go according to the normal. She can still function according to the normal pattern, which means that she must first learn the practical halachos that she must do, the areas of practical halachos. To me, she should understand them, learn them conceptually and intellectually, understand them. It's important that not only that it should be something which is comprehended in terms of the basic principles, but she should not spend time. She shouldn't spend time in learning how to master the system of Torah Shabbal Peh. That's not her area. Okay. Now, what is the difference on a practical level? It means, if you take a blot of Gemara, Gemara is the source of all halachos. You take a blot of Gemara, so there are two ways to learn that blot of Gemara. You could learn every Havamina, Maskana, and analyze what was this theory, that theory, and what's the Havmin of Tosfos, why did Tosfos raise this question at this point, not at another point. The ins and outs of the blot, which really don't have any practical relevance. Okay, that means that the person learns, you start with a blot, you're going through every detail, every aspect of the blot. That's in order to learn how to master the system of Torah Shabbal Peh. It's a special, special science. If a person is interested in understanding the concepts, the practical concept of halacha, so what the person does is, they just extricate from the blot those areas which are practical, which are necessary, and in those areas, of course, they should understand the concepts. But it's not the same kind of learning as learning how to master a blot of Gemara. It's a different kind of learning. You wouldn't learn everything on the blot. You'd only be choosing the areas that have relevance, that have practicality. Of course, you understand them. You understand the concepts, but that's a different kind of a thing than being involved in the science of analysis of a blot. Why did Rashi say this extra word? What is this? What is that? That's a different kind of a limud. It's a different kind of a learning. Okay, the learning for women should, of course, always involve the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, the focus should be on the practical, and the Gemara should serve as an explanation of the practical. But it shouldn't be essentially a focus on the blot of Gemara. All right? In other words, everybody, methodology is dependent upon an inherent sense, correct thinking. And when you hear a correct idea, you know it, because it sounds right. But if you want to go into why, what if it was a little bit different with this nuance, that nuance? What's wrong with this kind of a... The wording in this statement is it doesn't have to be expressed in three words instead of two sentences. That kind of thinking is a precision study of Torah Shabbat Peh. That is not a girl's area of limud. It's a different thing. It's a special science. Okay? But of course... If anybody thinks that what a girl learns is not intellectually challenging, that's not correct, because there is no dearth of intellectual challenge in learning, in any area of learning. So, in terms of the intellectual aspect of it, the woman's her learning is challenging without any question. But it's a different kind of a thing. It's a different focus. It's a different kind of a you have a different objective when a woman is learning than when a man is learning. The areas that are chosen for a woman to learn would not be, I wouldn't learn whether a girl tuck for kain, one of tuffer sugyos and shas and shaymalzin, or things like that. The things to learn are the practical things. And again, there is no scarcity of practical areas. Netilas Yadayim, Muktzah is a beautiful area. Shabbos, a woman must know Borer, Zorah, these halachas that you could personally over the rices if they don't know these areas. You go to a hotel, you take an apple and take it up to your room, you could be involved in this derisa. Okay? These are the areas that are extremely important because they're practical, and to understand them well takes a tremendous amount of effort, and it is an intellectual discipline. And it's necessary, because if you don't understand them, you can't do it properly, you can't raise your children properly, and you can't really run a house according to halacha if you don't really understand what you're doing. So therefore, that's why I said the Rambam says, Ef shishiyido sam hakol, ish v'yisha, katn v'gadol. It means on every level you have to be able to, in order to function in halacha, you have to be able to understand. But that's essentially, it's arachayim, which there's plenty of material in Aruch Chaim alone. A person can spend their whole life in that. You have Aruch Chaim, Hilchas Tefillah, then you have also Hilchas Nida. It's an extremely important area. Challah is an important area. To understand the basics of challah, taking challah, you know, a person, a woman every now and then, I don't know how often today, but still women do bake challah, cake, things like that, they're involved in that. Those types of things involve, see, questions in halacha of how to do it, and what it is. It's a practical area. The areas should be chosen in terms of their practicality, one, and two, the limud should revolve around the practicality, not around the objective of learning how to master a blot. That's a different science. That's specific for those who are involved in the Masorah. They must do that. They must accomplish that, because otherwise it would be lost forever if one generation would chalila cease. Okay. That's basically what I wanted to explain. Again, I think I mentioned that in the Shir on Sunday, that there is no, the Rambam says that women on the whole do not have the ability that men have in terms of abstract thought. And that's the reason that the men, it was given over to the men. And it's not permitted to be given over to the women. But the Rambam did not say, therefore, a woman is usher to learn Torah. The issa was not placed on the woman. A person is never limited in terms of their intellectual development and their own personal inquisitiveness. They're never limited. Otherwise, you'd have an internal problem. Because on the one hand, the Gemara says you're not allowed to, you're not permitted to give over the methodology to women. On the other hand, you see there was a Bruria. How did she get the method? Okay, she obviously was a great scholar. I mean, Chazal quoted her. There's no question about that. Nobody questions that. How did she get it? Okay. And not only Bruria, but throughout the generations, there were women that did have the knowledge. So the answer is pretty clear. There's no isser on her personally, but there is an isser on establishing such a program. Okay. So that means that if a woman goes through what she has to know on a practical level, and let me tell you, it is a long distance to get to the level where a person will, on their own, be able to engage on that in that level of understanding. But if there is someone that is so persistent, I mean, this would mean basically they'd have to be putting in 10, 12 hours a day for years and years until they approached it. If there's such a woman like that, and she does it, there's no issur on her to pursue it. No issur on her to pursue it. Okay. No. It's not borderline. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think there's any problem. I think that the study of methodology is a unique study. This is not what is meant by methodology. Methodology is a fine-tuning. It's a different kind of thing. It's a concentration on methodology per se. But if you somebody asks a question, you show them why their opinion is not correct, that's not methodology. There's no problem with that. I mean, that's just an intellectual understanding of the Gemara, of the principles. There's nothing, that's no problem. That's not a problem. It's a different thing. It's a different thing. I mean, most people don't know what it is, and therefore we're talking about like an unknown here. Because most people have never really, I mean, people here have not really engaged in such a thing, so it's like an unknown sort of. But I can just tell you this, that is not what is meant by methodology. It's a person, you will be completely intellectually satisfied and not go into methodology. Methodology is a separate thing. It's a different thing. I mean, it's a concentration of methodology itself. It's a fine-tuning of how to think. It's a different focus. It's a different thing. That's not... If somebody asks a question or presents an idea and you say, well, this idea isn't correct because of this and that, that's not methodology. That's thinking. And, of course, if you learn Torah, you're going to improve your thinking. There's no question about it. Any Torah you learn in any area. If you learn Pirkei Avos, you're going to learn how to think properly because anything you learn is an intellectual adventure. I mean, that's true. But methodology is a specific concentration. It's a different thing altogether. Not this. That's not what I mean. What is meant by methodology? Okay. That unusual individual who is such a brilliant mind and has so much energy involved in thought, that kind of a woman, I mean, like a Devora, or she was a Navi, of course, so that's a different class, but Bruria or after Bruria, women of lower stature, but who were so intellectually, their essence was intellect and thought and mind, I mean, means a constant. They're constantly thinking. It's a different kind of a person. Such a person is a rarity. It happens in once in generations. It can't be a group like that. A group like that is immediately that's impossible. But the point is that there's never a case where if a woman asks a question that you don't answer, except that case in the Gemara which I mentioned, because Rabbi Elazar got a sense that this woman, she asked a very good question. You see, after she left, Talmid said, okay, what's the answer? You see? But the question was good. But from the way she asked the question, he saw that it was an ego problem that she had. It wasn't really, she wasn't being motivated by a desire for truth and knowledge. She was a very prominent woman, and she wanted to show that she also can learn Torah. She's on the same par as the other Talmidim. This is why he objected. He saw it was an emotion, an ego emotion. It wasn't really a sincere quest for truth. But if a woman had asked a question of any kind, she sincerely wants to know the answer. This, of course, there's no way that says you can't answer. That's ridiculous. So, a woman who is a brilliant type, I mean, it's a rarity, but it can happen. It's not something which is impossible. In our generation, it's much more difficult. Because in our generation, you see, even with men, we have to make certain sacrifices. We have to sacrifice the practical in order to have the Masorah go on. So we're really jumping. We're not doing it in order anymore, just to save the Masorah. We're not following the proper order. So you see, even for men, we're not on that level that we're following the natural system. You're going to have a woman who masters all the areas in the practical first, do you know what I mean? And who proceeds and starts to see different areas, openings, and she'll go to somebody and ask them, well, how does this work? How does that work? Of course, so he will, you know, if he feels if she's sincere, he should answer her, and it's her own personal development. But that's on a personal level. It's a different kind of thing. She has to be the motivator, the prime mover in that situation, not the malamed. That's what it means. Lo yalamed adam esbita Torah. It means he shouldn't be the prime mover. That's why even, that explains, by the way, the Rambam, which many people don't understand. Why does the Rambam say even Torah Shabbat Sarah? What's wrong with Torah Shabbat Sarah? He says it's harmless, so why not? But the answer is because the Rambam's speaking about a kind of limud which is initiated for the purpose of the Masorah. And once it's a Masoretic kind of limud, then it's usur even if it's tashbich b'chsav, because that kind of limud is not proper. Okay, because that's a breach in the Masorah, and taking the Masorah away from the men and giving it to, assigning it to the women. So you're distorting roles. You're not allowed to do that. But he says, but there's no harm. It's just that you're doing.